tropical storm of the season is expected to make landfall tomorrow. Al-Qaeda in Iraq has named a new leader to take the place of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, who was killed last week. In a web posting, the group said the new leader would continue al-Zarqawi's work. Today, dozens of people were killed in scattered violence including two children. At Camp David today, President Bush urged Iraq's neighbors to follow through on the $13 billion in aid they promised. He met with military leaders and Iraq commanders through video conference to discuss the future of Iraq. The meetings will continue tomorrow. In Afghanistan, 15 suspected militants were killed when security forces raided a southern village. An army general reported 25 people died in violence elsewhere and that the insurgents are better organized than expected. In the West Bank today, Palestinian security forces shot at the parliament and cabinet buildings and set them on fire. No casualties were reported. The move was in retaliation for an attack by Hamas gunmen. At Guantanamo Bay, pressure is increasing to shut down the prison. That follows the suicides of three detainees over the weekend. One of the men was reportedly due to be released, but hadn't been told yet because U.S. officials had not yet decided where he would go. In Washington, the Supreme Court has ruled that death row inmates can challenge the use of lethal injections. The justice said that prisoners' claims of cruel and unusual punishment could be valid. Also in Washington, a judge has scheduled another hearing on the domestic spying program for July. Today, opponents and supporters argued its constitutionality in court. Opponents said it violates the rights of free speech and privacy, while the Bush administration says the program is legal and necessary to combat terrorism. The FBI reports that the number of violent crimes in the U.S. rose last year for the first time in 15 years. The rise in crime was led by more murders, robberies, and aggravated assaults. The largest jump in murders were reported in Houston, Philadelphia, and Las Vegas. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
As the Hispanic population continues to grow in the U.S., so is Spain's second largest bank. BBVAA has announced it's acquiring Texas Regional Bank shares and State National Bank shares in deals worth more than $2.5 billion. The FDA has approved the first drug to treat seasonal affective disorder. GlaxoSmithKline's Wellbutrin XL can be used to treat the wintertime blues that sometimes accompany shortened days. Daimler Chrysler is recalling more than 100,000 2003 and 2004 Jeep Cherokee models because of a fire danger. The front seat electric heater may overheat and cause a fire. China has reported a record $13 billion trade surplus in May. Exports reportedly rose 25%, while imports rose 22%. Microsoft says it will release 12 security patches tomorrow. Most of the patches fix potential problems for Windows. Discover Financial Services has introduced a credit card geared towards small businesses. Small business owners can qualify for credit limits of up to $50,000 and will receive cashback bonus rewards. The latest Lumberg survey shows that the average nationwide price for a gallon of self-serve regular was $2.93. Light Sweet Crude settled at $70.36 today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 99 points, NASDAQ down 44, S&P 500 down 16. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Now, head on with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
I'm Bob Kincaid. Thrilled to pieces to be with you tonight's program this afternoon. What a day. A very long day indeed. A long and exciting day. It was really something to produce Guy James's program there from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern, followed, of course, by the premiere of our brother-in-arms, as it were, Bruce Birch. And, of course, I'm coming on an hour late for a very good reason, since Bruce is there in Washington, D.C. I wanted him to have every opportunity to get in as many interviews and as many conversations. This is, after all, conversation radio. As many conversations as he possibly could. So, hence the late start. It's about 7.5 minutes past the hour. And there's something else that's a little bit different about things just now. I am back at the remote, undisclosed studios of the Head On Radio Network. I left sunny Alabama early on Saturday morning, and we drove, my father and I, drove straight through, arriving here Saturday evening. And, you know, it was the darndest thing. We left about, well, it was about 9 a.m. Central Time when we left Alabama. And it was, 75 degrees. And by the time we arrived here about 11 hours later, it was 58 degrees. Amazing. And yesterday was just gray and rainy. Strange little summer moving in here in the hills and hollers of wild, wonderful West Virginia. But it did me some good to be down there for a little while. Of course, I was more than happy to help help see to my father's needs. But it did me some good to go down there because even when you live in a place like West Virginia. Even if you don't necessarily buy into some of the blarney, some of the hooey that the coal industry puts out there, it's hard not to have it infiltrate your world. And one of those lies that is constantly told people who live in the extractive regions, the places where that are treated like a third world mercantilist culture, such as West Virginia is that we have to have a coal industry in West Virginia. We have to. And if you speak heresy and you say, no, we don't, they say, you know, whether it's the coal bosses or the people who sell the coal, the machinery to the coal bosses or the people who work for the coal bosses, well, Bob, if we didn't have a coal industry, we wouldn't have any jobs. Wouldn't have any jobs. Now, I got to tell you, I was just in a place that doesn't have a scrap of coal under it. And you know what? Lots of jobs. No problems with jobs. Oh, yeah, they do have problems there about jobs. They have supported right-wing religion industry Republican freak politicians for so long who've walked around. Oh, we got to have a right to work. We can't be given no union, no foothold. And they've supported that for so long that they've screwed themselves out of their own good livings. But there is, West Virginia does not have to have a coal culture to survive. And it's just that easy. And you don't really think about it until you don't see it, and then you come back to it. And driving up here, you know, these mountains are so majestic and so exquisite. And as we began the final leg of our journey up US 60, out east of Charleston, you begin to see the signs of filth and degradation that coal has brought to this state. Great mountainous piles of toxic coal sitting in heaps, waiting to be loaded on barges and shipped downriver to coal-fired steam plants in the deep south, like where I was. And tucked at the very top of a ridgeline that doesn't look like a natural ridgeline, you see bare dirt peeking above the pines. And you realize that that is the hidden end of a mountain range removal job, and that if you could only peek over those pines, you would see a moonscape that went as far as the eye could see. So barren, so desolate that if a crow was to fly over it, he'd have to pack a lunch. And you realize what has been done to this beautiful, beautiful, marvelous state. And it makes, frankly, it makes you sad. But all of that can't last for very long, for the simple reason that I'm just so confounded happy to be back among my own ones and back among the ones I love, here with the lovely Agnes, here with the children, and here in the studio. I don't know what to do. I don't have any buttons to push. And as a consequence, I get to just sit and talk. This is like free. This is easy. So I hope you'll participate this evening. I hope you'll enjoy yourself. God knows there's, as usual, no small amount of stuff to talk about. And God bless CNN. God bless CNN. Because what do I get? I get a laugher for my Monday lead-in. Headline: Bush, top officials, brainstorm on way forward in Iraq. No, they really wrote that. They did. I promise. President Bush and top officials in his administration gathered at Camp David on Monday to take what one aide termed a, quote, wait for it, soup to nuts, unquote, look at the way forward in Iraq. Yeah, there's some nuts involved. I don't know about the soup. A soup to nuts look at the way forward in Iraq. Guys, I mean, this is the blind leading the blind, right? There is no way forward in Iraq. If they're not careful, they're going to wind up with no way out in Iraq. It wouldn't be the first time that an entire military has been lost in those sands. Long, long ago, a number of Roman eagles were lost in those sands. That was something nigh onto a generation it took them trying to get them back, and I don't think they ever did. It is possible to get yourself into a heck of a fix over there. So, you know, thanks for the laugh, CNN. So let's take a break. It's about a quarter past the hour. We've got a couple of hours of good conversation ahead of us. You want to jump in? Do so, please. The water's fine. The phone number you already know, most likely, 877-443-2366. 877, the number 4, head on. And I'm Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Coming Monday and Tuesday, the Head On Radio Network will be broadcasting live from the Taking Back America Conference in Washington, D.C. Join Bruce Birch and Guy James from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. on location in the nation's capital. That's right, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Anne Braden.
You know, I got interested in Anne's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss and tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The Millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free. And it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Quad Wally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Welcome back. I'm Bob. This is Head On. It's coming up on 24 minutes after the hour, and great to have you along. I hope your day has gone maybe a little some better than mine. Let's go to the phones. Jim is joining us. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program. Just a second. There you are.
Yeah, I come in peace.
I'm glad.
Mm-hmm. Who in the world was that song that you played, or who was that group?
Oh, gosh, that's... the name of the song is Turning Japanese, and I'm trying to remember who did it.
I can remember a similar thing by a group, and it was a bunch of kabuki theaters and kabuki-type characters, and the name of it was Kimono My House, L-K-I-N. But anyway, that song had quite a bridge in it.
Yeah, it did. It did. Mm-hmm. We needed a little time.
It definitely got some electricity going around here. Bad for the blow-up dolls. I'm going to be flying over toward your way. Anyway, I'm glad to hear the agitprops are up there in D.C. You know, I was just thinking how wonderful it would be if they would be sitting on the mall and a big spaceship would just come right down and Michael Rennie would pop out with Gort and just tell people how it was going to be.
Well, yeah, that's
you know.
I think
that's probably what it would take.
That's not the first time that popped into my head just the other day. As a matter of fact, it's crazy the things that pop into my head, Jim.
That's a wonderful movie.
Yeah, it is, and it was way ahead of its time.
Much so.
Oh, and by the way, that band was The Vapors.
The Vapors.
Yeah.
That's what I just had a case of. Excuse me.
Well, I think it was designed for that.
No. Oh, let me get my spelling fault, or I'll faint right here on the air.
Oh, no, not on the veranda.
Oh. Just like Aunt Pettypat.
Exactly.
Oh, God. Well, anyway, so how are things going up in the, Washington Hills and up on Connecticut?
It sounded to me like things went very, very well. We tested all the equipment about noon, and bless his heart, Guy had never worked with us before. You know, he produces his own show there out of his secure, undisclosed location. But we got on like old friends, and things went very, very well. He had some engaging interviews. Yeah, and, you know, that place is just crawling with interviews up there right now.
I'm sure it is. I mean, they probably have parabolic microphones aimed at their hotels and everything like that, so you never can tell what'll be going on.
Well, I'm sure they brought on a double shift at the NSA for that thing.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm sure. You never would think that it would come to that, but like I say, I just finished watching that film, The Day the Earth Stood Still, and I was just thinking, you know, this is exactly what this world needs, is for someone to come down there and just tell us, look, if you don't want to play it our way, and continue your own selfish, stupid, self-driven interest, we'll burn you out to a cinder. If not, if you want to live among the community of nations and the other worlds, then we'll accept you if you...
Well, you know, the funny thing is, I always took the symbolism of that film, Jim, to relate to other people who have preached peace and brotherhood among the humans. And the thing is, every time one of them shows up, we have a habit of killing him or her.
Well, that's the reason I like this one, because they can't.
Right.
They ain't got no choice, excuse my use of the English language, but to listen. And sometimes with a stubborn move, you've got to hit him in the head with a 2x4 to get his attention. Then you might be able to get him to plow straight for him.
Well, there's a lot of truth in that, Jim.
And, you know, maybe I'm being a little overly simplistic, and maybe, and I know I'm not being simplistic, I'm just being wishful. Wishful thinking.
Yeah, well, that whole movie is a wish. I always sort of saw that as a little love note to the human race.
Mm-hmm.
The day the earth stood still.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, it's a pity that it's just something on celluloid, but who knows?
Exactly.
So, what else is going on? You mean you're not all stirred up about something tonight?
Actually, I'm kind of tired, to tell you the truth.
Good. I'm glad you keep it in the low, and keep it in the lower registers, in the lower ranges.
And I want to make sure that, you know, now that I'm back behind the really nice microphone, I don't blow it up or anything. No, I'm just, I've got to get back in the groove again, Jim. I've been doing the show a different way for so long that, getting used to it again is, quite the little challenge.
Well,
but no, I'm burned up about a couple of things. I got a couple of things in the offing, you know. The ongoing what? You mentioned Kabuki.
Your main bet noir tonight.
I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I've got a couple of contenders. I'm fascinated by the ongoing fraud that is the Zarqawi aftermath.
I don't think that has yielded the dividend they thought it would.
Okay, Jim, I'll bite. What did they think? What did they think they were going to get out of it?
I probably thought, since they got rid of this guy, that all of a sudden that it would show the cohesions of the Iraqis and the people to work together, when it's just totally fatuous, an assumption of that nature, because all it's going to do is just piss them off even more, particularly when they beam pictures of him all around the world.
Yeah, and that's kind of a violation of the Geneva Convention, right?
Stuck in his head, and... You know, I don't know what they thought, and now he has a replacement, and behind him are 16 more. It's
yeah.
Like a hydra, you know. You cut off one head, and three or four grow in its place.
Well, and honestly, Jim, and, you know, you've got some military experience. You can yay or nay. I don't think the American military is set up or structured in such a way as to be able to deal with problems like this so-called insurgency.
Bob, we are not into occupation. We are not into, and if we are, we were never been proved to be that good as an administrative force. I mean, a soldier's duty is to fight, okay?
Yeah.
And then you have certain units of the military that are designed to have temporary administrative functions, and then they hand the power over to the local people there and hope they can run it themselves. And number two, we're not into nation building. That is not the task of the military. I'm sorry. I mean, we have civil affairs and units like that that are designed to keep order until their own people can stand up. But, I mean, this thing of Bush and his thing about, oh, we're going to stand down when the Iraqis stand up, that's nothing but a soundbite.
I hate that, Jim. That thing in particular I just despise.
There's some reality to it. I mean, we got boys over there that want to come home. They hate that place.
Right.
And I've been over there, not to Iraq, but the Saudi, and it's just like being on the moon, 120 degrees and having to wear all that stuff and then not know who's going to shoot you where and whether or not, you know, an IED is going to come flying out of nowhere. I mean,
and can't get a beer.
And can't even have a beer. And, my God, I mean, the strain, these guys have had enough. They don't need this. I mean, you know, this is not war. This is folly. It's absolute folly, led by fools.
Well, that's why that headline from CNN just sort of tickled me a little bit.
Now, what was that one about? I didn't quite catch it.
Oh, the headline was, let me see here. Oh, that Bush and his top advisors were going to brainstorm.
So they're going to do a bottom-up review, as they call it, huh?
Yeah, from soup to nuts.
Well, that's what they mean, a bottom-up review.
Right.
When they start talking about that kind of stuff, that's what a soup to nuts thing is. It's called a bottom-up review.
And that they're going
to... they assess any and everything, and they realize that, hey, it ain't working.
But they're even handcuffed by the language, Jim, because they say that they're looking for the way forward in Iraq. You know, they can't even admit the truth of what they're looking for. What they're looking for is the way out.
They're looking for a way out. A way forward, my ass. They're looking for a way out. They have got something they can't handle.
Yeah.
You know, that's exactly what it is. And I'll just speak plainly, and I don't give a damn who likes it or who doesn't, but they can't handle it.
Yeah, we've
gotten it over our heads.
Again, because we're not cut out to be an invading force.
That's not the philosophy of the American Army. It's just, or the American military. It's not like that. I mean, it wasn't designed to be that way. There are people, there are echelons of it that think in those terms, but any man who has any sense at all will realize that you cannot maintain a force structure and a force presence and force effectiveness under these conditions. No more than Pharaoh did when he realized that when he should have zagged and he saw water coming in when it should have been open air.
Well, to be fair,
Crassus was it, I think it wasn't Crassus with his legions who got zapped by the Parthians.
Yeah. Was it Crassus?
I think it was Crassus, one of those rich men who had an army, and he lost a whole legion over there, and he lost his life too.
Yeah. And
Homes to Whiten over there.
Yeah, and they lost. You know, they lost a bunch of eagles. Exactly. But to be fair, we have successfully occupied places. The occupation and transition back to representative government in Japan. You know, while I didn't care, I don't care much historically for Douglas MacArthur, it was very successfully done.
Well, MacArthur had a lot of good ideas. I mean, he was an egomaniac, and he was really stuck on himself. But he knew one thing: he knew how to handle the Japanese, and he knew how to realize the significance of what their emperor meant to them. When there were people who wanted to hang Hirohito, he realized that was the worst thing they could have ever done.
Right, and we succeeded in the occupation of Germany.
And, of course, these people wanted to follow our lead. You know, they wanted to adopt our styles, our dance, our this, that, and the other. I don't see these Arabs over there wanting to do the...
That's the thing. Everything's upside down and bass-ackwards, Jim, because when we invaded Saddam's Iraq... That's when they were Americanized. You know, women could walk the streets.
They were a secular nation.
Yeah. There was a Christian population that now practically doesn't exist. Part of it, most of it we killed. The other part has had to go into hiding from the radical religion industry, right-wing Islamists.
Well, I mean, Tariq Aziz was a Chaldean Christian. He was his farmer.
Precisely.
And, you know, I don't know what the world Bush was thinking when he did this thing or what these people...
Money. He was thinking money.
Well, I hate to tell him, it ain't work, and it's not going to work, and he can get over there and get all his rhetoric and say all these stupid things if he wants to, but each day, instead of getting better, it gets worse.
But the sad thing is, you say it didn't work. You got to bear in mind, the Carlyle Group has never been richer, Jim. Halliburton has never been richer. The oil and other stock holdings in the so-called blind trust of the Bush family have never been at a higher par value.
Well, you know something? It's always at the greatest height before the fall. It never, ever, ever is different. Pride goeth before fall. And I don't care how rich or how what they are, the bottom's going to drop right out from under them.
Well, the sad thing, the scary part of that, Jim, is
we're talking about some karma here, too.
Yeah, I know, but the scary part is when it falls out from under them,
excuse me,
it falls out from under us.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. I think people know who's responsible for what, and they can find out the people who are guilty. I do believe so.
Well, I want you. I want you
to justice.
I want you to be right, Jim.
What other choice do you have?
Well, I got a more pessimistic streak than you do. As long as there is a Bush who has not cornered all the money on Earth who still breathes, then we're going to be in danger. I mean, there's a news report out today.
Okay, what's that?
Crime is on the rise for the first time since 2001. Oddly enough, it's on the rise at its sharpest level since 1991. Now, what are the, I mean, you know,
where is this? And, you know, did they give you cities? Did they give you areas?
Vegas is one of the. I'm at the main console. I don't have my stories in front of me.
Well, I know one kind of crime that's been on the rise since they've been in power. White collar crime.
Well, but violent crime is the thrust of this thing. Vegas is mentioned. A couple of other cities, but those dates are what are telling. 2001 and 1991. The sharpest spike in violent crime in this country since
wartime.
Well, not just that, but since the last time a Bush occupied the White House.
Well, 1991 was a lot different than this thing. The old man, the older Bush, had enough sense to get in and get out, okay? And to get out while the getting was good. And to leave something there and not a power vacuum. Now, what we've done is create a power vacuum, and that power vacuum is about to suck the life force out of us when it was supposed to do the same thing to, you know, the former Iraqi dictator.
Well, things happen with the Bush crime family.
Yeah, but they're not doing it by themselves. They've got their own fellow travelers and people that are like...
Well, sure they do.
I mean, that Halliburton crowd, and I mean, I understand they're doing other things, and I don't know. It's just like some evil empire. It's some Darth Vader-type force that's being spread about. But I can guarantee you one thing. I don't think it's going to last much longer. I really don't. I don't think the American people are going to tolerate it much longer.
Well, you know, George Bush said the other day that, and he's said it before in the past, that... you know, the Iraq is going to be a problem that some future president is going to have to solve.
Well, he may have to be solving it, too, after he leaves the White House.
Well, I'd rather just see him make expiation for it in the dock at The Hague or something.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, you know, I would like to see him. As far as I'm concerned, there's no difference between him and the late whoever it was that they zapped over there. They're both murderers.
Yeah.
You know, what is the difference? I mean, I told you the other night, I was talking with my 86-year-old mother. She said, can you tell me the difference between Zakaria and George Bush? What is the difference between the two men? They both were murderers.
Yeah, and basically that's the same point that Mr. Berg made talking to Solenoid O'Brien on CNN last week.
Really?
Yeah, he said, under Saddam, 30,000 dead Iraqis a year. Under George Bush, 60,000 dead Iraqis a year. Under Saddam, rape rooms and torture chambers. Under George Bush, rape rooms and torture chambers.
Not much difference, is there?
No.
Talking about winning hearts and minds.
You know, one shows up on a balcony with a rifle in his hand and a funny-looking little uniform. The other one wears a funny-looking little uniform and lands on an aircraft carrier.
Well, there's a lot more to being a man than just posturing. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think George ever learned that, Jim.
No, I'm afraid you're right. And I tell you what, you know, it's just a bad scene. And I really feel sorry for the people. The people I feel sorry for the most are those poor guys over there who are caught in this mess through no fault of their own. And that's our soldiers. My heart bleeds for them every day.
Yeah, because...
And their families and their wives, their children, they have hopes, dreams, aspirations, children, relatives, people who have wondered about them, don't know whether or not they're coming home, don't know whether the phone rings or the doorbell rings, it's going to be somebody from the casualty area command.
Frankly, I mean, extend that out, Jim. They don't know if their loved one does come home. They don't know if they're going to get the same one they sent over, and most of them know in their hearts that they're not.
Either mentally or physically completely altered and not for the better.
Yeah. And then there's the
pornographied.
Yeah, and then there's the stuff that's going to happen 5 years down the road when all the really ugly stuff starts kicking in.
Oh yeah, there's the late action stuff and the post traumatic stress and all that stuff. It's horrible.
Yeah. You know, the right wingers were so careful to point, well, this isn't Vietnam. Guess what?
It's Vietnam, except it's Vietnam, shall we say, redux.
Yeah.
And basically what they've done, and I'm going to get off because I know other people want to talk, he has opened Pandora's box. I had no part in it, I can tell you that.
Well, I know, and there are a lot of us who didn't. We've opposed it from the very get-go, but so we opposed it.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something. Remember that movie Raiders of the Lost Ark? They had to die to open that thing?
Yeah.
Well, guess who it got?
Yeah.
So maybe if we just close our eyes real tight in a certain way, figuratively, you never can tell. Those spirits have a way of finding their own targets.
I hope, again, I'm in a mood to sort of root for your optimism, Jim.
Well, it's just a matter of karma. You know, it's just, you know, this is nothing but bad karma. And that's exactly where it's going to end up. And it's going to end up on the doorstep of the people who put it out there in the first place.
A lot of truth in that.
Just mark.
A lot of truth.
Just put whatever you have to put on the lintel of your house, whether it's lamb's blood or whatever, because I'll tell you, the plagues are coming.
Yeah, but again, I'm afraid they hit us as bad or worse than they hit others.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. But anyway, I just had a lot of drivel tonight, so let me shut my mouth. So I'm going to get off from the Chevy program.
I think you were far from drivelsome, Jim. Very well said and very well made points.
I'm pissed off, Bob. I'm just pissed off. Waste pisses me off. It's
yeah.
Like Rhett Butler said in Gone with the Wind. I don't like waste.
And whether it's, you know, and the waste of the waste of our treasure, and what more treasure do we have than the youth of our nation?
Prodigy. How many of those young men could have had the cure for cancer who are now being brought back in a body bag?
Yeah.
That's the thing about war. It's more than just equipment. It's more than just treasure. It's the prodigy of the generation.
And see, John Kerry is still right. How do you be...
You can't replace that kind of material.
How do you ask somebody to be the last person to die for a mistake? And we need to be asking that question now, and we need people who are willing to stand up and ask that question. The rhetoric about this war is going to have to get tougher and tougher before the lights go on, because there are still people, and even on the Democratic side, Jim, there are still Nixonian types walking around saying, "Well, you know, we need to find peace with honor."
Ain't no such thing, friend.
Nope.
There's only one kind of, you know, when you go to war, there's no substitute for victory. You either have it or you don't.
Yeah.
And we ain't winning this one. I'm sorry. I wish we were, but we're not. And I wish our troops could come home.
Well, I tend to...
things will be as they were before.
Yeah, but, you know, that's the other scary thing. You give George Bush... You end this war for George Bush, that makes it possible. This is it. You understand the Iraq war is the only thing that's stopping him from putting boots on the ground in Iran.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I have no desire to appear to be unpatriotic or whatever. But I tell you, I think a real patriot realizes when his country has made a mistake, and this thing of my country right or wrong, I'm afraid that went out with the Dark Ages.
Well, isn't it? I mean, isn't it just a fundamental tenet of being a fairly informed, intelligent human being that when you realize you are screwing up, you immediately try to stop screwing up?
Well, I mean, you know, if you take a match and put it under your arm, I mean, it takes a fool not to take it away when it starts to burn. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Or if you stick your finger in a light socket, you can put it in there again, particularly when it's turned on. And we've jammed our big thumb into a great big light socket. And we don't have sense enough to pull it out.
Well, I know, Jim, it's an election year, and I want so badly to get people into the Congress who can help pull that thumb out. But it's gonna take a superhuman effort. I mean,
I got the thumb somewhere else. I ain't gonna say on the radio. But listen, if they come and get me, you and Angus, at least bring me a manicotti with a big file in it, will you?
Absolutely. All right, you take care, Jim.
Lots of garlic.
All right, will do.
Out here.
Later. Our good friend Jim with many, many good points. Let's see, coming up on 13 minutes before the hour, let's take a little break. When we come back, your phone calls are, of course, always welcome at 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
We all set up together on the sorry ship of state. When the captain took the fever, we were hijacked by the mate. And he steered us through the shadows upon an angry tide, and cast us one by one over the side. But it's kind of hot and smoky in this anteroom to hell, and I won't make up the story, 'cause you know the truth so well. It's much too late to worry that we never had a chance. And when Joe the Georgian gets here, we will dance, dance, dance. When Joe the Georgian gets here, we will dance.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss and tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Quad Wally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com. A place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Cry, but I'm going to try to try not to. They would be, at the very least, tears of anger. And it is very easy to be angry in this circumstance. What Jim said is very telling. I hate waste. And whether it's the... My God, how much money did we pour into the Pentagon to build the military up to the level that George Bush could destroy it? And it's in a shambles. You want to know why Haditha happened? Haditha happened in part because of Marines being recycled like so many aluminum cans. Back into that hellish meat grinder, where all they know is they're walking targets and everybody is the enemy. This is what happens to a nation that invades another nation that has done nothing to it. As Jim said, there's a karmic debt. And unfortunately, George Bush does not pay that karmic debt. That karmic debt is paid by the Smiths and Joneses and Sanchez and Lopez's and Nguyen's. Who make up the day-to-day American military. But it's not just the military that's broken. We're well on the way to having a... Oh, God, I'm such a bummer. We're well on the way to being a broken society again. Because... And you know, maybe there was some truth in it. Back when the Republicans were having their little zipper frenzy over Bill Clinton... And moral men like David Livingston and Henry Hyde and Newt Gingrich were hollering about how, you know, it's about honesty, it's about the truth. And asking questions like, what will we tell the children? And that filthy Flush Limbaugh on the air reading letters from mothers saying, and we were listening to the news, and I had to turn it down because they were talking about that dirty president and that dirty thing that he did. And I had to look at my child said, yeah, Mommy, what's a Hummer? And the self-right, sickening, self-righteous pontification of these right-wing sleazebags. My God, the whole time! The whole time that he was having his fit over Bill Clinton. Flush Flemball was chewing on OxyContin to get that refreshing burst of flavor. Whacked out of his mind, talking about how the drug defendants need to be incarcerated for a long, long time. But maybe there was something in all of that, because it was all, you know, and, you know, I've heard, you know, you hear it from that goon Neil Bortz and Flemball and God knows moral, upright, righteous bastard, Michael the Savage Wiener. All of them talking about, oh my God, we're going to have a sexual explosion in America because the president had sex. What will we tell the children? We can't tell the children it's not all right to do oral sex anymore. Because what the president does legitimizes conduct. Guess what? They may have been right. There may have been a sharp spike in oral sex among teenagers in the late 90s. Damn. But if they were right then, they have to still be right. So we have to look at things like this statistic that I mentioned to Jim. FBI statistics released today confirm, this is from the Associated Press, confirm what cities like Philadelphia, Houston, Cleveland, and Las Vegas have seen on the streets. Violent crime in the U.S. is on the rise, and it has posted its biggest one-year increase since 1991. Now, there's a lot of, you know, real hardcore liberals, hardcore progressives. Some of them even spit on the ground when you mention the name of Bill Clinton. I don't. He was a flawed man, but there was a hell of a lot more right about him than there was wrong. And let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Thank you very much. But when you offer people hope, it's not like he didn't make the rich richer. The rich got a lot richer under Bill Clinton. But there were a few more scraps thrown to the poor. And there was hope that, you know, people's condition might improve. And when you give people hope, the inclination toward crime is not nearly as profound as what it is in the circumstances that you get when a godless, soulless, motherless Republican is in the White House. So, yeah, if Bill Clinton was responsible for a spike in oral sex, then by God, yes, indeedy, George Bush is responsible for a spike in violent crime. We see that budgets for policing are being slashed, and the federal government has gotten out of that business, said James Allen Fox, a criminal justice professor at Northeastern University in Boston. I think that everybody continues to be frustrated within the government, within the department, said Captain Benjamin Nash in Philadelphia. The overall national increase in violent crime was a modest 2.5%, which equates to more than 1.4 million violent crimes. Nevertheless, it was the largest percentage increase again since 1991, since another Bush was in the office. You see, murder and torture and rape and death and mayhem and agony and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth come with the turf. When you are a Bush, right? I hate to say it, but yeah, I'm afraid so. I am afraid so. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Sitting in a tiny table in a ritzy restaurant.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree, and I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and when we do, it can be very hard for us to talk about it and get support, because nobody expects a man to have breast cancer. But I know one place to get reliable, timely information about breast cancer. Breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet that translates all those big medical words your doctor uses into plain English. It helps you understand what kind of cancer you have and what treatments are out there. It helps you get your head together and make a list of questions for your next doctor's visit. And it gives you all kinds of other good information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
This is the Quality News Network. On Wall Street today, the Dow dropped nearly 100 points and the Nasdaq fell to its lowest point in 7 months. We'll have the closing numbers for you at the end of the newscast. More than 20,000 residents on Florida's Gulf Coast have been ordered to evacuate as Hurricane Alberto continues to gather strength. Alberto, the first tropical storm of the season, is expected to make landfall tomorrow. Al-Qaeda in Iraq has named a new leader to take the place of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, who was killed last week. In a web posting, the group said the new leader would continue al-Zarqawi's work. Today, dozens of people were killed in scattered violence, including two children. At Camp David today, President Bush held a video conference with U.S. military leaders and Iraqi commanders. He said Iraq's new government must ultimately be responsible for securing the country and suggested creating a fund using oil reserves to help the Iraqi people. He also urged Iraq's neighbors to follow through with their pledge of $13 billion. The talks will conclude tomorrow. In Iraq, 200 more prisoners have been released from U.S. and Iraqi prisons, including Abu Ghraib. However, Sunni Arabs are demanding more releases as well as compensation for former detainees. At Guantanamo Bay, pressure is increasing to shut down the prison following the suicides of three detainees over the weekend. One of the men was reportedly due to be released, but hadn't been told yet because U.S. officials had not yet decided where he would go. In Afghanistan, 15 suspected militants were killed when security forces raided a southern village. An army general reported 25 people died in violence elsewhere and that the insurgents are better organized than expected. In Washington, the Supreme Court has ruled that death row inmates can challenge the use of lethal injections because their claims of cruel and unusual punishment could be valid. The court also ruled that those who have evidence they believe will cast doubt on their guilt can also get new hearings. Also in Washington, a judge has scheduled another hearing on the domestic spying program for July. Its constitutionality was argued in court today. Opponents said it violates the rights of free speech and privacy, while the Bush administration says the program is necessary to combat terrorism. The FBI reports that the number of violent crimes in the U.S. rose last year for the first time in 15 years. You're listening to the Quality News Network. It's now 2.5 minutes past the hour.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The insurance industry says more than 90% of Hurricane Katrina claims have been settled and that its obligations to policymakers, holders, are being met. The consumer advocates say many claims were settled for only a fraction of the actual damages. As the Hispanic population continues to grow, so is Spain's second largest bank. BBVAA is acquiring Texas Regional Bank shares and State National Bank shares in deals worth more than $2.5 billion. The FDA has approved the first drug to treat seasonal affective disorder. GlaxoSmithKline's Wellbutrin XL can be used to treat depression that sometimes accompanies the shorter days of winter. Daimler Chrysler is recalling more than 100,000 Jeep Cherokee models because of a fire danger. The front seat electric heater may overheat and cause a fire. Monster.com is under investigation for possibly backdating its stock options. That tactic is used to take advantage of a dip in the underlying share price. China is reporting a record $13 billion trade surplus in May. Exports rose 25%, while imports rose 22%. Microsoft will release 12 security patches tomorrow. Most will fix potential problems for Windows. Light sweet crude settled at $70.36 today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 99 points, NASDAQ down 44, S&P 500 down 16. You can hear more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All righty then, 6 minutes after the hour. I'm Bob. Want to get in on the conversation? It's 877-443-2366, 877, the number 4, head on. Email flies, I tell you, it flies into Bob at headonradio.com. We are also having a blast, I'll have you know. We're having a blast at the headonradionetwork.com chat room. Oh, let's see here. Let's just take a quick peep. Oh, I got thrown out. Doggone it. But at any rate, if you've never been to the headonradionetwork.com chat room, I highly encourage you to go. Oh, we got a room full. Absolutely a room full. From literally all over the world. And all over the country. And having a blast. It's free. Headonradionetwork.com. And just go into the chat room. You will enjoy yourself. Let's, I hate keeping people on hold. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend Ed here in Fayette County. Ed, good to talk to you. Haven't heard from you in a long time. You doing all right?
Doing, I guess, keeping up the plow. But it's better to hear you back. Agnes, that you feel like that you got reinforcements when you're around.
Yeah, well, it's good to be back. It feels good.
Well,
it's good to be back behind the microphone I'm supposed to be behind as opposed to pushing buttons and trying to figure out how to do things all at the same time.
Well, it's good to have a little bit of happiness with all the stuff that's looms around you and behind you. It's hard to find a little, you know, pick out a little bit of happiness, but that's part of it when you hear people coming out with what ought to be said from the White House instead of other people. But I have had a lot of time, went through a little bit of trouble here, but I, during the spell, when you get on your back a little while, you realize all the things that are wrong. I mean, you know as much as your mind can handle.
Right.
And I was thinking about the trillions, and I don't know what the amount is anymore. I did know the amount this war was costing us, the war and the other things that our damned idiot in the White House has wasted. But yet, there's no cure for cancer. They're making some progress. There's no cure for diabetes. There's no cure for high blood pressure. There's no national health bill to cover all of these things that are wrong with people. But yet, instead of trying to save lives, we're still sending target practice over there for them, for the Arabs. And I don't mean Arab like I've got it in for a certain group, because we bought and paid whatever we're getting over there. But when I think about the money that could have spent on cures instead of kills, you know what? I want to start a damn war right here. And I'm too old to be thinking that. But I am so furious at this country that I don't have one damn bit of patriotism. The only patriotism I do have is for our boys, Bob. But as far
well, back up just a minute, Ed, if I could interrupt just for a second. You said you don't have any patriotism. Man, what you just said is freighted with it. It's loaded with it. Those are patriotic words. This is a broken nation. This is a broken government. And, excuse me.
That's all right.
And if you sit idly by and you watch this country be taken to hell like these Republicans are doing, and you do nothing about it, and you say nothing about it, and you think, well, you know, if I just stay quiet, everything will be okay, and nothing bad will happen to me, and we can just ride it out the storm and hope things get better. That's the essence of having no patriotism. What you're talking about, what you believe, what you feel, is the real kind of patriotism that people like Jefferson and Franklin espoused.
Well, I'm just so daggone disappointed in our government that I resent even paying taxes, and I am a believer that you have to pay taxes to keep your infrastructure, to keep the programs that good Democrats has put in years ago, but I don't even want to do that no more. I will, because the book tells you to.
Yeah.
But that don't mean I'm 100% book liver either. But I resent the hell out of our government and what they're doing. And I really wish that there was just one way rather than all this strung out stuff. And every time something goes wrong, we're going to form a committee. We're going to investigate. We're going to check on this and get back with you.
We're going to have a blue ribbon panel, and we'll let Lee Hamilton, former congressman from Indiana, we'll let him head it.
Yeah, that, and you know, these people, it's like throwing a couple foxes in the chicken house and saying we're going to protect the chickens. It just ain't there from these Republicans. And you know, we've got people in Ohio, and you know, I never did understand whether there was 12 counties or 6 out of 12 that just a few of the counties that sold out, or that the vote was turned around and stolen, it would have made a difference in this election. And those Ohioans come in here, lean back like a bunch—I mean, working
people—like
a bunch of damned idiots. And you know, I got into it over one of these churches at Lansing. They pointed to the three or four Republicans who were sitting there, and they pointed to a little old shack on the hill, said, that must be the Republican headquarters there. I said, you're probably about right. I said, we don't have any use for damn Republicans down here, and if they come down here from Ohio running their mouth, they can run back the same way they come.
Amen to that.
And
of course, you know, the problem, though, Ed, is that in places like this county, there are no Republicans, and that means that you got to keep a special weather eye out among the Democrats.
Well, that's what we got. That's what we got in Shirley Love. And but you know the good thing, Bob, he got his hind end kicked royal because he backed a guy from up at named Greg Tucker against Randy White. And Randy White's one of the best state senators we ever had.
I like Randy White a lot.
And anyway, he only won with one guy, and he backed probably four or five. And I can tell you that vote buying jerk is hurting because people are starting. And I say vote buying, and I'll witness that he tried to give me money to back when his son run for magistrate, 19 years old, and didn't know the speed limit. And they put him in for magistrate. But when that kind of politics is in the county, and you can get somebody like that, and most of the people that back him are these and I don't mean hillbillies, because I am a hillbilly.
Right, we all are.
But you got these tobacco chewing ones that they can't get past that stage, and they think he's a celebrity and whatever he thinks should go. But he slowly, you know, if he runs again, and maybe we can do an outreach, you know, into these other counties. That's because Fayette County and this district up here, there, and many people has a bit of respect for him. And I'll tell you one day that I had an encounter with him, plus he told one of my friends that something was wrong with me. So he probably think, you know, guys like me are nuts because we recognize him. But I wanted to, you was talking about crime on the rise. Bob, anytime people don't have jobs and they have kids, it's going to result in violent crimes. And the thing of it is they named that it was murder that was the violent crime that was up. And but if you notice, that went up from 91. That's when we had a president.
Well, they started coming down under Clinton and went down all the way to 2001, the end of the Clinton administration, and now it's, you know, now the chickens are coming home to roost, Ed. I mean, look at these percentages on murder. Birmingham, Alabama, 76% increase in murder. Charlotte, North Carolina, 44% increase. Kansas City, Missouri, 42% increase. Milwaukee, 40% increase. 38% rise in murder in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Well, like the guy said, you can pay me now or pay me later. You know, because I'm going to tell you one thing. My grandbabies ain't going hungry. And just that plain and simple. I won't add no more. But I'm not going to sit by. I won't kill nobody to feed them. But they didn't bring this on when our government is, you know, the Republicans holler, well, people expect too much for our government, you know, these Republicans. Yeah, I expect a way to go to work, and instead of supporting these corporations that are so anxious to move offshore, I'm not going to sit by. I'm going to try somebody from moving offshore. And I just feel that strong about it. That's the kind of patriotic attitude I have anymore, is to hell with these corporations all the way. I mean, they have no concern for anybody but the dollar. And I'm just really tanked out at them. And I watched this thing on this war. If there was ever a phony presentation of we're winning the war, are the people so blind that they can't see what's happened to our boys over there, and another suicide over there because he couldn't take the...
Yeah.
Bob, you cannot walk down a road every day and watch a bomb go off ahead of you and two or three of your fellow soldiers killed. And
not a darn thing you can do about it, because nobody's got a uniform on. There's nobody to shoot at.
Yeah, and there's just nothing. Yeah, you're fighting the shadow, you know, and you can't win that way. And it's just the lie is so disgusting that I don't have words to describe it. You probably can, but the hate in Bob, I have never hated another politician. But since Bush got in, it's drawn some lines that I didn't realize I had in me to draw. You know, I just didn't realize that they could do stuff, that people could do stuff, but they are no worse than living next door to a killer, and you know it.
Yeah.
And that is so... so degrading.
Well, see, that's like the difference between the Bush family and Charlie Manson, Ed. You know, Charlie Manson was whacked out of his mind and just, you know, just stone insane. The Bush family does it sober.
And they do it behind what they call laws and their rights to interpret the Constitution. And what they're doing with the Constitution, and Bob, I'm going to tell you, the Democrats are right in bed with them, as far as I'm concerned. We got a bunch of lousiest, stinking Democrats that ever set their feet in Washington. And the attitude is I can't sell out fast enough. Let me get mine and run. And that's where our nation is. The nation is being sold out right out from under us. And that's the reason it's good to have a voice that you have on the air. And I really enjoyed those, what does he call himself, the Cup of Joe?
Yeah.
Him and Bruce, I didn't even know their names before. But they've made an impression on me for sure. Not that I'm one that would count, but I just
sure you do, Ed. Don't sell yourself short,
yeah,
man.
But I don't think you count unless you can do a whole lot. I can do a whole lot when it comes to voting, but it's still you feel like your hands are tied. You know, when I used to go play golf. I found real joy in being out in nature and doing what you can do, and just, you know, you find a way to make yourself happy. But that crap looms in the back of your mind no matter where you are. And I catch myself looking at a person and saying, I bet you that's a stinking Republican right there. Bob, you know, that ain't right. That is not a healthy attitude. And not only
it may not be healthy, but man, I've got it as bad or worse than you do, Ed.
Well, that is a sickening. I mean, that kind of attitude is part of what brings on sickness. You know, as you're so downtrodden or feel like you are all the time, that it just takes it out of you. Or it does me. I just don't. Maybe my fight ain't as strong, swinging as hard as it used to.
Well, no. I mean, I see. You know, you still see the occasional Bush sticker on a car, and you just want to look at people. What is wrong with you? You know.
I don't. I think about getting that damn tape sledgehammer handle I got out and busting her windshield. Now that's what I. And you know that ain't right. That kind of hatred towards somebody, but. What it is total disrespect for that person and wondering how ignorant. What does it take? I mean, look at the evidence, you know. And you had one guy on old Steve O'Brien's show, got on there. Well, I'd follow him if I was in the 1%. I thought, well, maybe he'll come down here and go over New River Bridge. When you got that kind of people that are that ignorant, then what kind of hope is there? I mean, I'll fall. I'll be that 1%. When 67% of the people have said basically that what's going on is wrong between the war, the economy, all the lies, then what does it take for people to get their head out of their rear end? It's just beyond me. I mean, hell, I get suspicious at the least little thing, let alone having to take as much as what's before us and try to deal with. But anyway, I'm going to get off here and quit blabbering. You got people that know what they're talking about.
Nah, Ed, you know more than you let on. Don't sandbag, man.
Yeah, well, I just know things ain't right, and I'm sort of down, feel like I'm downtrodden on it, and it's like somebody smacking you in your face with your hands tied behind you. You're just in a feel like you're in a rage all the time. That's my feeling. I'm bitter. I can't believe our government done like we did. I can't believe that I had the commitment to this country that I once had. And it turned out to be like it is, and everything in general is just at a point of disgust. And by the way, I appreciate Jim's comments. I understand about half of what he's talking about, but the main thing is we're glad to have you back. Well, we hope it works out where you can stay a while.
Well, I'll be here. Yeah, I'll be here for a while, God willing.
Well, I'll be talking to you soon because I'm, like Rocky Raccoon said, I'll be better as soon as I'm able. So I'll catch you a little later, Bob.
All right. Thanks, Ed.
You keep on those Republicans.
I'm going to try. I don't see no other alternative.
All right. Talk to you later, buddy.
Bye now.
Bye.
Our good friend Ed from Fayette County, West Virginia. There is value in calling it like you see it. and calling it like you feel it. Because the truth of the matter is, you don't see near as many of them as what you once did. But I see people, and it's never been this way for me. I mean, I voted for Dukakis, other people voted for Bush. You know, there were people with, the Bush dole stick. I didn't just immediately despise them. But honest to Pete, I don't know. Maybe it's a therapy issue. You know, seek counseling, Bob. I see these Bush stickers and usually it's like a Cadillac Escalade or a Lincoln Navigator, some big Saudi loving vehicle, and it's got that W on there. The president. And I see that crap, and I'm with Ed. I mean, I feel a visceral dislike for whoever is in that vehicle, because look at what these Bush voters have done to America. You gave us approaching 3,000 dead Americans. You gave us 20,000 maimed Americans. You gave to the world over 100,000 blown up, blasted, blistered, burnt, beaten, shot, dragged, killed women and children in Iraq. By voting for George W. Bush, you gave us all of that, and you hung Jesus all around him in the process. And I don't like you for what you did to my country. You are not my fellow Americans. It causes a real conflict in me because, I'm all kumbaya and, let's make peace and we'll have a little campfire and make s'mores and talk about how to make the country better and, and we can just get past our difference. I don't think you can. This is a polarized country. And the centrists, the swing voters, the independents, here's a secret. Screw them. You either get on board to fix the problem, or you're part of the problem. You're either part of the problem or part of the solution. And those people that are still driving around with WO4 stickers on their vehicles are part of the problem. And in my heart of hearts, I cannot find it in myself to consider them my fellow Americans. Because no good American would do to this country what the Bush voters have done to this country. And all the way down to my heart of hearts, I believe that. There's that hateful word, believe. I know it. I know what Bush voters have done to this country. The rampant greed. The avarice. The disregard for anything that gets in the way of making another buck. And that 20% or 19%, you're going to hit that. Bush is eventually going to hit that floor. And they know it. And they know there's nothing they can do about it. They wanted a boost or a jump out of Zarqawi. It never materialized. And they're still telling lies about when he died, how he died, why he died. And they've tap-danced all over Muslim law in the process. The family, the family's not to be held to account for Abu Musab al-Zarqawi's conduct. But they are, we're a righteous nation. We're a godly nation. Well, their religion tells them they gotta send Abu Musab al-Zarqawi for the big dirt nap within 24 hours of his death. And instead, the American military's running around playing Quincy Medical Examiner with his corpse. And the family is begging for his body. You know what? There are people, I know for a fact, there are people in Iraq who hate Zarqawi. but they're also Muslims, and they want to see him done right by their own faith. So guess what? In that little bit of desecration, why, we've created some new Zarqawi fans. Anybody ever read Antigone? Sophocles, isn't it? I think so. Well, it's a half past the hour, and we really should take a break. Your phone calls, as ever, are more than welcome. The number, of course, is 877-443-2366. 877, the number 4, head on. Email comes to bob@headonradio.com. Before we do go to the break, I want to share one thing with you that came from a listener. And, you know, I don't like to do the money solicitation thing. And everybody, there's a lot of suffering people in this country. But where we can help, we can help. And so I'm not going to tell you what to do or ask you what to do. If it is in your heart to do this, do it. I've got an email here, and the email says, a mother of three children lost her home, and all of her possessions were tossed into the street this morning. She has $12 to her name and is desperate. She can't go to work because she has no phone or place for her belongings. The writer says, I've been able to store some of her things, but a lot will be ruined if it isn't into a new place really quick. He says, if the listeners can help, it would be greatly appreciated by a very good lady and a mother. If you can help this lady, her name is Melissa Glover, G-L-O-V-E-R, Melissa Glover, P.O. Box 96, Clarksville, C-L-A-R-K-S-V-I-L-L-E, Ohio. The zip code is 45113. Melissa Glover, P.O. Box 96, Clarksville, Ohio, 45113. If ye have done it unto the least of these, ye have done it also unto me. Runs through my head. I'm stuck with it. Can't get away from it. Melissa Glover, P.O. Box 96, Clarksville, Ohio, 45113. 27 minutes before the hour. I'm Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. What's it going to take to close down Guantanamo Bay? It should have been closed long ago if Bush and Rumsfeld and Cheney and Gonzalez had any respect for international law and for human rights, and it definitely should be closed now after the suicides of three detainees. The response from the U.S. military has been anything but sympathetic. The camp commander, Rear Admiral Harry Harris, called their suicides an act of asymmetrical warfare waged against us. The inmates, he said, have no regard for life, neither ours nor their own. That's a nice condolence call. General Vance Craddock, head of Southern Command, wasn't much better. He said the suicides were also a mere tactic. This may be an attempt to influence the judicial proceedings in the Hamden case, he said, which is before the Supreme Court. That case will determine what rights detainees have to challenge military tribunals down there. If the commanders are so smart, why don't they release the suicide notes the detainees left behind? Then we can find out, in their own words, why they committed suicide. The commanders can't admit that the conditions of Guantanamo itself are to blame. The fact that detainees in Guantanamo have been kept in a legal netherworld for 5 years now. The fact that they've been abused. They've been denied their basic rights. They've been left to bake in the sun. Because to admit that would be to confess to the war crimes the U.S. has been committing at Guantanamo. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free, and it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Before the hour, winding down toward the end of tonight's program. We'll go back to the usual 3 hours once the Taking Back America conference has concluded. Please, by all means, be around tomorrow afternoon. Guy James had some excellent interviews. And, of course, you know, your phone calls are welcome, too, for tomorrow while we're still remotely producing Guy. It's the same phone number you use for this program. It's very, very easy. He'll be on from 3 to 5 Eastern Time, followed by Bruce Birch and his new program from 5 to 8. I'll be there from 8 to 10. And look it. The Head On Radio Network, the horn, just grew again. Be afraid. Be very afraid, Republicans. Ah. Now, I got this in my email, and I would appreciate a little help on this, because I start reading congressional bill, I start reading bill language, and my eyeballs roll back in my head. But this just seems creepy. This is, it says, a new Senate bill S-2766, and this is and you can find it at Thomas, S-2766, and this is paragraph 2. And if you can figure out what in heaven's name this means, then let me know by email or call in or whatever, because to more effectively support, this is what it says, to more effectively support local, state, and federal agencies in response to man-made or natural disasters, the committee authorized the Secretary of Defense, Rummy, to approve the deployment of Weapons of Mass Destruction Civil Support Teams, WMDCST, to Canada and Mexico if requested. Semicolon. Expanded the types of emergencies for which the Secretary of Defense may prepare or employ WMDCST, and added $13.5 million for the development of a sustainable training program and for equipment upgrades to ensure the standard... Eyes rolling back yet? To ensure the standardization of equipment for all the teams. The committee also included a provision that would update the Insurrection Act to clarify the president's authority to use the armed forces, including the National Guard and Federal Service, to restore order and enforce federal laws in cases where, as a result of a terrorist attack, epidemic, or natural disaster, public order has broken down. Now, does that read, does that sound as creepy to you as it reads to me? Thomas.loc.gov and S2766 updates the Insurrection Act to clarify. You know, whenever George Bush clarifies something, we get screwed. They clarified the Clean Water Act, and the next thing you know, we got mountaintops flying off all over West Virginia. clarify the rules of the Department of Interior, and the next thing you know, healthy forests means forests with no trees in them. Clarify the president's authority to use the armed forces, including the National Guard and Federal Service, to restore order and enforce federal laws in cases where, as a result of a terrorist attack, epidemic, or natural disaster, public order has broken down. That sounds like they're authorizing the president to pretty much do an end run around Posse Comitatus. You'll notice National Guard and Federal Service to enforce federal laws. Well, law enforcement is within the territorial confines of the United States is expressly forbidden by the Posse Comitatus Act, right? Oh, God, I'm going to start sounding like some sort of the paranoid dude up in a cabin in Idaho or something. Posse Comitatus. But, yeah. S2766, have a look. If you can make, if there's some way you can read it where it doesn't wind up being just creepy as all get out, I want to know about it because, to me, that's creepy as all get out. And, of course, we haven't really hammered on the news this evening a whole lot, but it is certainly worth a drive-by, as it were. The ACLU has come out and stated the obvious. They say that, now this was arguments before a federal judge, Anna Diggs Taylor. ACLU claimed President Bush broke the law by ignoring federal statutes and allowing the NSA to conduct warrantless surveillance. Well, nice to know. Who'd have thunk? Walmart, did you catch this? The designer Fendi, Italian fashion designer, has sued Walmart, claiming that the Fendi designer bags, purses, that kind of thing, being sold in Sam's Club are fakes and knockoffs, counterfeits. And, of course, Walmart has responded from Bentonville, Arkansas. No, they ain't. Them's real Fendi. We bought them from Fred Fendi. He's down the road in Elmer's Bottom, Arkansas. Fred Fendi lives in the third trailer on the left. Makes a hell of a handbag. Some of them's actually old mule hide. Tough, my God, they're tough. You can shoot them with a shotgun. That mule hide will turn a bullet. Ain't nobody makes a better bag than Fred Fendi. Newsflash to Sam's Club shoppers. If you're going to Sam's Club for your Italian designer bags, you deserve what you're getting. You know, attention Walmart shoppers, now flashing in the ladies' handbag aisle right next to the polyester lingerie, genuine Louis Vuitton luggage. God bless W.C. Fields. Old grandpappy said to me once, just before they swung the trap, said, "Son, you can't cheat an honest man. Never give a sucker an even break, and don't smarten up a chump." Three rules to live by. I'm not sure which heading. I bought my Italian designer bag at Sam's Club. That one falls under. It's only $39.95. Do you know how much them Fendi bags are going for in New York City? Some of them, I saw a change purse was going for $750. I got my wife a change purse at Sam's for $19.95, and it's Fendi. It's real life Fendi. Oh God. You know, that's... What? I mean, okay, now bear in mind, if there were Fendi bags for sale at Costco, because Costco has a reputation for just bringing in some outrageous bargains every now and then, I'm down with a Fendi bag at Costco. Not at Sam's. No. I mean, what, a Fendi bag at Sam's Club, you know. Look here, Mavis. Why they got Tiffany Silver Services right here next to the Fendi bags. Damn stuff would turn your hands green taking it out of the box at home. I'm sorry, I loved that story. The fashion group filed its lawsuit against Walmart in U.S. District Court in New York on Friday, alleging that the retailer is selling handbags, wallets, and keychains. That keychain, that is a real bargain, Mavis. That's only a dollar and a quarter, and I got a stick of gum with it. That are counterfeit. Jesus. Oh, don't smarten up a chump. And meanwhile, no, okay, so we had our little laugh. It does bear mentioning as we roll toward the end of things this evening. What happened over the weekend with the suicides of the Guantanamo Bay detainees? And if you... If some part of your soul can't at least reach out and wonder about what brought, you know, can you do that there? But for the grace of God goes John Smith thing with the Guantanamo detainees. I bear him love. I don't know. I mean, you know, the little old blue-haired ladies in the basement of the Baptist church said, "I got to love my neighbor as myself." And the thing is, because of the way Guantanamo Bay is run, we don't know if these guys were desperate killers or just as likely, some poor slob that got turned in by his neighbor who wanted his goat herd. Because, you know, things do kind of work like that in tribal societies. And they killed themselves because they've been imprisoned, some of them, for 5 years. And the one thing, you know, when you go to prison, the one thing that maybe helps you keep moving on is the fact that someday you're going to get out of the stir. Not these guys, and they off themselves. And yet we've got callous people in our government who said, "Well, you know, the deaths over the weekend in Guantanamo come as absolutely no surprise whatsoever to the attorneys who have been involved in this litigation." And let's see, the Rear Admiral Harry Harris says the suicides, quote, are an act of asymmetric warfare, unquote. An act of asymmetric warfare. Gee, I thought it was an act of killing yourself because you didn't think you were ever going to get out of stinking prison. All those are an attempt to influence the trials that are coming. You know, this poor Gidhan Jali Gutierrez, he's a staff attorney with the Center for Constitutional Rights. He's defending 200 of these imprisoned people. 200. That's a caseload. Your Honor, my client pleads not guilty because he's a shepherd and he just one day felt a needle in his arm, the next day he's in Guantanamo. Damn. Let's go to the phones. Wayne is with us. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Welcome back to West by God, Virginia.
Thank by God you.
I'm glad you're here, man.
It's good to be back, man.
Well, you even sound better.
That's because I'm behind a better microphone, and I'm right here within the easy reach of my producer, and she can keep things in order.
Well, you got a hell of a producer, I'm going to tell you. She did a real good job in your absence, my good man.
Yes, she did.
I might say that. So, listen, I was thinking, man, we ought to start a pool. You know, like a football pool?
Yeah.
What day do you think George Bush will slip through his ass and hang himself?
Now, see, you're going to get a visit from Agent Fred talking like that. You're going to get visited by Agent Fred
now. No, I mean, that's a self-inflicted thing. I ain't got nothing to do with that. I just know it's going to happen at some point, you know.
Yeah, that's like saying, you know, when's he going to fall off the wagon and try another pretzel?
He already did that. I don't know. I think he's off the pretzel, but he ain't off the wagon.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. Can you get off the pretzel wagon? I don't know. I guess you can.
Well, you know, when you're in the mall and you walk by that soft pretzel place, it's a tough trip.
Yeah, I guess it is. I guess it is. You know, especially for them cowboys.
Oh my God! I don't know. Let me know when you get the poster board up on the pool, and I'll take a number.
Yeah, well, we gotta figure out some way to do that. I mean, you know, it's probably going to be a pretty big, you know, thing. Cause let me see, the elections are what, November? When's the elections?
8th. Is it the 8th?
Is it the 8th? I don't know. I have to look at Tuesday there, but. I would say, you know, have to start after that, you know. But, of course, again, I don't know. Maybe it'd be a good bet to bet before that.
Well, you know, I don't know. Maybe some of it has to do with whether or not Pickles goes to or comes back from the What's-Its house there in Washington. And, you know, if she catches him and Condi again.
Man, we got to confirm that story. I wish somebody could confirm that story. That'd be really good. That would be really something.
Yeah, because then he'd have to come out and say, I did not have sex with that woman, Secretary of State. And then, you know, then like I said, we bring Ken Starr back and, you know, all bets are off.
There you go. Is Ken still, is he still at Pepperdine? Or?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, he's still at Peppermint University.
God, that's terrible. But
screwing up the law school.
Did you notice the picture in the paper today of the three people from Guantanamo?
No, I didn't.
I'm going to tell you. Now, I think I still got the paper at my office. But I'm telling you, it's the same damn picture that they showed of Zakari before he got, you know. I mean, you know, I heard a report today all his injuries were internal.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that was cool. It didn't mess up anything else on the outside. But, like, they showed a picture of, you know, like the kind of straggly, well, the dead picture.
Yeah.
The straggly hair. But then there was another picture of him with one of those, who's them guys in Pennsylvania?
Amish?
The Amish, yeah. You know, they got that Amish beard kind of where they shave off their mustache and below their bottom lip, and then, you know, it's the same picture.
Yeah, out of the movie Witness.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, one of the guys, I mean, not only did we kill him with them two 500
we shaved him?
Bombs, he committed suicide in Guantanamo. I'm telling you, look at the pictures.
And got a shave.
Guy.
Yeah.
I'm serious now. Now, you know, I don't know. I got to compare.
Save this. I got to see this.
Well, I'm, you know, I'll do my best to show it to you. I mean, you know what? Didn't they show a picture of him on, you know, all the news, like, you know, before?
They violated the Geneva Convention six different ways from Sunday showing him.
Oh, yeah, they have. Yeah, they have. But, I mean, they were trying to show, like, a before and after.
Right.
You know.
And you know, and see, but they keep showing that footage of him shooting the machine gun, and then the hand reaches in and pulls the slide back and reloads it for him.
Yeah, where's this? When did we kill him in Iraq? What was it? Wednesday.
Yeah.
Well, the same guy committed suicide at Guantanamo on Friday. I'm telling you. He's a magic man.
Oh, well, yeah. And, you know, the thing is, he's a weight loss expert. If he just would have behaved himself, he could have come to the U.S. and opened up a string of weight loss clinics or something, because he went from, I mean, he went from, you know, chubby little dude at the ice cream stand to, you know, skinny guy.
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, and I mean, you know, the resurrection is one thing, but, you know, dying twice in the same week—that's pretty good too.
Yeah, well, you know, it's you know, the die and come back once thing's been done.
Yeah, they did that. So, you know, dying twice. Well, that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's well, it sort
that's
of solidi-
rather unique, I would say.
Yeah, and it solidifies his creds with the real crazies.
Right.
Oh, he's the Mahdi.
Oh man, what a mess these people are.
Aren't they?
I mean, it's just totally. Well, they're incredible. They're incredible. I like Jim's comments, and Brother Ed is one of the truest patriots there ever were.
Absolutely.
And I want him to never doubt that. You know, I don't know who somebody said something. Dissent is the greatest form of patriotism. Who said that? One of them founding guys.
Yeah, or maybe Teddy Roosevelt.
He wasn't a founder, but...
No, but, yeah.
He could have been. You know, he was just born 100 years or so too late, or whatever it was. I'm not good at math either.
No, I'd leave that alone.
Yeah, I know. I know he wasn't around then. But.
Hey, listen, I got to ask you one other question. You following this story about Ben Roethlisberger?
Oh, man. You hurt me, Bob. What's the skinny? I mean, I know he was in a motorcycle accident without a helmet, and the last I heard was he was alert, but that really doesn't mean...
The CNN story says he's listed in serious but stable condition.
Oh, my God.
And he's at Mercy Hospital, and said he was clutching his jaw after the wreck. The wreck happened in downtown Pittsburgh, and he was... coherent before the surgery.
And did he have head injuries?
Well, I mean, his jaw.
Okay. That indicates a head injury?
I'd call that a head injury. I mean, is it a closed head injury? I don't know, but if you're going to break your jaw, you're probably going to make your brain rattle around a little bit.
Oh, God.
I hate that. You know, driving home, Wayne, Alabama has a helmet law, and I'm not one, you know, I'm not rule-oriented. But you know, I'm howling up I-65, doing about 85 miles an hour. I get passed by a Harley with a dude riding it with no helmet on.
Yeah, I mean, there's law and there's common sense, man. You know, and I don't know. I heard that sometime this afternoon, and
I saw that, and I'm not making light of it, Wayne. It just really, really disturbed me.
Well, I'm not making light of it either.
You know, I think the NFL should institute just a boilerplate, you know. You know, you're out there spending a few million bucks on a football player. For his own good, you should be able to write into the contract, no motorcycles.
Yes, you should. Yes, you should. I mean, you know, we're paying you a lot of money, and here's one of the deals. And if you don't want to accept that, then that's okay. We just won't pay you the money.
Right.
That's all. And, you know. I hope the dude's all right, man, but I don't...
I want him to be all right, and I want the first thing he does after he's well is a series of PSAs along the lines of, Put your stinking helmet on. I have to wear one on the field. I wish I'd had it on when I was riding my bike.
Exactly. Yeah, why, you know, I mean, there you go. Why don't you play football without a helmet?
Oh, that's dangerous.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's sad. That's very sad. And, you know, I would say that my Super Bowl prediction is going to be pretty hard to fulfill at this moment.
Yeah, if he doesn't, yeah, because isn't what's his name still there? Is the Tommy Maddox, or did they get shed of him?
I don't know if they did or not, but...
You ain't going to the Super Bowl on the arm of Tommy Maddox.
No, you're not. No, you're not. And, oh, God, what a... well, that's a tragic thing. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry for him, and you know, and I hope the best for him.
Yeah, and put the, and you know, no more motorcycles, Ben.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I would imagine that's probably top on his list, but... well, like I say, I haven't heard too much more about it since the, and I didn't hear the thing.
Well, you know, I love the Steelers too, and my heart just went this.
Well, I could say I would imagine all of Pittsburgh is in. Well, not just Pittsburgh. I mean, there's Steeler fans all over the world. You know, and well, that's a sad thing. That's a very sad thing.
Yeah, it is. But we'll think good thoughts for him.
Yes, we will.
All right, brother, we're going to hit it here.
Okay, man, I'm, like I say, glad you're back, and we'll be talking to you, brother.
All right, take care.
All right, man.
Good to be back.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And what the heck, we'll roll in. Let's do a third hour. Kind of hate to cross over onto Malloy's turf, but I'm sure he won't mind once or twice. I'm Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. On Wall Street today, the Dow dropped nearly 100 points and the Nasdaq fell to its lowest point in 7 months. We'll have the closing numbers for you at the end of the newscast. More than 20,000 residents on Florida's Gulf Coast have been ordered to evacuate as Hurricane Alberto continues to gather strength. Alberto, the first tropical storm of the season, is expected to make landfall tomorrow. Al-Qaeda in Iraq has named a new leader to take the place of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, who was killed last week. In a web posting, the group said the new leader would continue al-Zarqawi's work. Today, dozens of people were killed in scattered violence, including two children. At Camp David today, President Bush held a video conference with U.S. military leaders and Iraqi commanders. He said Iraq's new government must ultimately be responsible for securing the country and suggested creating a fund using oil reserves to help the Iraqi people. He also urged Iraq's neighbors to follow through with their pledge of $13 billion. The talks will conclude tomorrow. In Iraq, 200 more prisoners have been released from U.S. and Iraqi prisons, including Abu Ghraib. However, Sunni Arabs are demanding more releases, as well as compensation for former detainees. At Guantanamo Bay, pressure is increasing to shut down the prison following the suicides of three detainees over the weekend. One of the men was reportedly due to be released, but hadn't been told yet because U.S. officials had not yet decided where he would go. In Afghanistan, 15 suspected militants were killed when security forces raided a southern village. An army general reported 25 people died in violence elsewhere and that the insurgents are better organized than expected.
In Washington, the Supreme Court has ruled that death row inmates can challenge the use of lethal injections because their claims of cruel and unusual punishment could be valid. The court also ruled that those who have evidence they believe will cast doubt on their guilt can also get new hearings. Also in Washington, a judge has scheduled another hearing on the domestic spying program for July. Its constitutionality was argued in court today. Opponents said it violates the rights of free speech and privacy, while the Bush administration says the program is necessary to combat terrorism. The FBI reports that the number of violent crimes in the U.S. rose last year for the first time in 15 years. You're listening to the Quality News Network. It's now 2.5 minutes past the hour.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The insurance industry says more than 90% of Hurricane Katrina claims have been settled and that its obligations to policymakers, holders, are being met. But consumer advocates say many claims were settled for only a fraction of the actual damages. As the Hispanic population continues to grow, so is Spain's second largest bank. BBVAA is acquiring Texas Regional Bank shares and State National Bank shares in deals worth more than $2.5 billion. The FDA has approved the first drug to treat seasonal affective disorder. GlaxoSmithKline's Wellbutrin XL can be used to treat depression that sometimes accompanies the shorter days of winter. Daimler Chrysler is recalling more than 100,000 Jeep Cherokee models because of a fire danger. The front seat electric heater may overheat and cause a fire. Monster.com is under investigation for possibly backdating its stock options. That tactic is used to take advantage of a dip in the underlying share price. China is reporting a record $13 billion trade surplus in May. Exports rose 25%, while imports rose 22%. Microsoft will release 12 security patches tomorrow. Most will fix potential problems for Windows. Light sweet crude settled at $70.36 today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 99 points, NASDAQ down 44, S&P 500 down 16. You can hear more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
This is a top to what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look. Right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
and amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Darn right. We go to 11, too. 9 minutes after the hour. Thanks, John Fox. Hi, this one goes to 11. Well, thanks for sticking around. The schedule's a little bit out of kilter this evening, but I think it's worth it considering what's going down in Washington, D.C., and our network brothers, Guy James and Bruce Birch there. You know, one of these days we'll have network sisters. We'll have
Yeah, because God knows I'm no misogynist. You know, I want the Head On Radio Network to be a broad panoply of opinion and progressive thought. So, you know, as we grow, it's not just all a bunch of pissed off white guys. There will be diversity. It will happen. And I'm gonna go right back to the phones. But did you hear that one story in the news? Now I am the first person to acknowledge that seasonal affective disorder exists. You know what happens in the winter when the sun goes away, and you know that long about February, I'm ready to go artery hunting. It's just miserable. Late February, and you know, and you're convinced that spring is never going to get. Oh, I gotta admit, I was a little bit bummed out when I pulled into the driveway the Saturday evening, and it's 58 degrees, gloomy. I'm like, this isn't June. Yeah, it is. Anyway, and now, you know, the really big pharmaceutical company of America, really big global pharmaceuticals, or what, has decided that one of their antidepressants, in a study that they funded with some psychiatrist whom they paid to find this out, has found out that his patients who suffered from seasonal affective disorder syndrome got better with a pill. And it also happens to be the last time it's Wellbutrin, right? Wasn't it Wellbutrin, Agnes?
Oh yeah.
I mean, is that was yeah. Sales must be slumping because the last time sales slumped on Wellbutrin, they came out and said, "It'll help you quit smoking." And before that, it'll just help you quit being quite so bummed out.
It can make your blood pressure go crazy.
You know what'll help you with seasonal affective disorder? It reminds me of that old story, and you know, it travels around the internet. I don't know if it sounds true. It may be. I don't know. But the whole thing about, you know, when we started going into space, we realized that our astronauts were having problems in zero gravity, writing with ballpoint pens. So NASA and the federal government poured millions of dollars into developing a pen that would write upside down in zero gravity in almost any condition known to the mind of man. And after a couple of million dollars, you know, they got it perfect. The Soviets sent their astronauts up with pencils. And that's, you know, it's a cultural thing here. By the same extent, you know, if you really want to get over seasonal affective disorder syndrome and it's really gray and miserable, get a heat lamp. Sit under the heat lamp. Install the heat lamp in your bathroom and take your favorite novel with you when you go, and turn the heat lamp on. Get some sunlight. And save yourself a hell of a lot of money on pills. Or, you know, $1 million on a pen, the Soviets sent them up with a pencil. That's us. Let's go to the phone. Steady is joining us. Our good friend from Southern California. Hey, Steady, welcome.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. I got some, use a jacuzzi a lot for the June gloom, and I do suffer from that seasonal lack of sunlight after the time change. I just try to get out in the sun more and get as much sun as I can.
Yeah, I'll be the first to admit, it messes with me.
It does. And for those who might not be aware of that, take a look at the time change next time. And people say you're going to the holiday blues. Well, you also change time about a month before that. So there might be a collision of two phenomenons there.
Exactly.
I called about the Guantanamo suicides, and I don't really want to take. I mean, I think it's reprehensible that our military would use that as a asymmetrical warfare thing against us, allege that was asymmetrical warfare against the United States. I think that's ridiculous, an incompetent military assessment. It's just stupid. And it makes me ashamed, you know?
Yeah.
And I came up with a poem when, like, the day that those images came across the TV, And Bruce so graciously granted my bio last night. He played my bio on his show, and incorporated in the poem I'm going to do is also the poem that was attached to that bio at poetry.com, which is a big sham for those who are aspiring to get published at poetry.com. It's a big business deal. Anyways, the poem, it tries to shield ourselves from this June gloom that's all about in the news and this pressing down on society. But as I wear my Pittsburgh Steelers hat in tribute to a long-time, three-decade Steelers fan, back to the Steel Curtain, and my hopes and prayers are out to Big Ben.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that just broke my heart when I saw it.
I can't believe it was not written into his contract that he could not ride a motorcycle. That often is.
Well, I was kidding a little bit, but that stuff does exist in those kinds of contracts.
It sure does. These people are all about money, and they know the... You know, the actuaries know the law of large numbers regarding motorcycles. So,
yeah.
Cannot believe he was allowed to ride a motorcycle, but then again, not even having a helmet. Sorry, Ben. Gosh, I'm praying for you. Anyways, my poem tries to be encouraging and uplifting in the light of this inevitability if we don't fight back. And it goes like this as I tip my Pittsburgh Steelers hat to Big Ben. Tit for tat, I tip my hat and go merrily along my way. I hum a tune to shield from gloom. It's all about my day. I breeze through work. It drives others berserk while standing on my head, trying to remember whose birthday's in September and kind things others have said, like, you got to do this and you got to do that and never go astray. Pay your dues and taxes and bills and pay them without fray. For three-car garages, wall-to-wall carpet, and a brand-new sub-zero kitchen. I scratch my head. SUVs and stock options, please. Is this all really bitching? But lo, the lies and cries. Are we dignified while many people are dying? I think again, what is sin? And are we all going to wind up in hell frying? But in the noosphere, I fear, my dear, I see within the answers clear. With science repressed and people obsessed, how can discussion be united in quest? Should questions of doubt and how to be led descend to the forums of all talking heads with answers that ruin and further bequeath dark and gloomy, torn and tattered, weed-run wreaths to society, our posterity, and nations we gave. From this, the land of the free and the home of the brave, the end.
Very, very well said, Steady.
God bless Head On Radio Network. Our prayers are going out to Big Ben and all the listeners. God bless you for supporting this radio medium. Thank you, Agnes, Bruce, John, all of you.
Thank you, Steady, and everyone who tunes in and tells their friends about what's going on here and tries to grow this family, because there really is a sense of family. I know you've gone through some. It's not even fair to say tough times lately. And you've been in our thoughts, and you know, man, you're still there. That's guts. And you show a real willingness or a real understanding of what it takes to keep going down the road.
It's coming, folks. In the name of enduring freedom to a town near you in a borderless conflict. It goes through the ages, and to think we are immune from that, it is coming to your doorstep.
Yeah, it is.
I love you.
We love you too, Steady. You take care, brother.
Bye now.
Bye now. If you work that sense of family, if you hold fast to that sense of family, we can survive some of this insanity. Because you know what? A lot of the time, it hurts. And with each other, sometimes maybe we can make it go away a little bit. Ben is joining us from Elgin, Illinois. Ben, welcome to the program. Thank you for calling.
You know, we're developing that path. The fisher had already.
Hey, Ben, I'm losing you for some reason or another.
Okay, you got it now?
Yeah, got it.
Okay, I tilt my hand. I'm on the cell phone.
Oh well, you're right.
Sorry about that. The Fisher Company, the Fisher Space Pen didn't cost NASA millions. Fisher had already developed or was nearly finished developing a pressurized pen for use in a lot of different applications. Like, it's really hard to write with a unpressurized normal ballpoint pen on like a clipboard on the wall, for example.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so that's why Fisher invented this thing. It was for pilots. It was for people who had to write on clipboards. And, the whole space pen thing, you know, this was just sort of something like on the order of product placement. You know, Fisher Tang.
Yeah, Tang. That's the one that comes to me because, I mean, I begged for Tang as a child, Ben, because
right.
It was the drink of the astronauts.
Exactly right. Do you know when it stopped being the drink of the astronauts?
No.
In the middle of Apollo, like, 14, when I forget which astronaut it was, his Tang dispenser, you know, there was a little straw you'd sip through, and when you did sip on it, there would be a little pump that would help push the fluid through.
Right.
His Tang dispenser stuck in the on position and soaked him with Tang. And so they stopped immediately calling it Tang, and it started being called Orange Drink. Because Tang didn't want to be associated with making a mess in the astronaut space.
Well, you know, I had a sneaking suspicion because it was one of those emails that run, you know, that's been going around since the internets were invented about
right.
the million dollar pen and the Soviets used a pencil. I have no doubt that the Soviets used a pencil. But the overarching thing is this societal idea that there's a quick and ready remedy for every problem that we have.
Well, yes, but do you know why we didn't use pencils?
No.
We were afraid of the graphite dust. Graphite dust being conductive, what if that graphite dust got into a fan motor? What if it got into a switch?
Bzz.
Yeah. And, you know, and in zero-G, dust goes weird places.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the reason we didn't do that. We were scared to death of dust. You know, our spacecraft were considerably less, you know, the backs of the instrument panels were considerably less cased in than the Russian spacecraft were because Russia generally had the luxury of much bigger rockets than we had.
True.
So they could lift more heavy equipment into space. So what we would do with finesse and a minimum of material, Russians would just use enough metal to make sure nothing could ever possibly break.
And still it did, because they had their fair share of disasters, too.
True. Well, they lost three astronauts in Salyut 7 because... A short circuit opened the cabin vent, and they all asphyxiated.
Ugh.
And they also lost one astronaut parachuting out of a spacecraft because their spacecraft hit the ground very hard and didn't really want to be in it if you could help it.
Yeah.
So the preferred method of was to, at 10,000 feet, you'd blow the hatch and you'd jump. Unfortunately, his chute didn't open.
Ow.
Yeah,
that was the part I never understood, was not doing the water landings.
Well, because we controlled the water.
Yeah.
The Soviet Navy didn't have the kind of global reach we have.
Yeah.
But you look for a technical fix for everything in this world, and there are just some things there's no technical fix for. You know, for example, you know, we looked for a technical fix for problems with voting.
Yeah.
That
well, exactly. And well, in many ways, it's a repetition of the same thing the Victorians went through. I just finished the new brilliant biography of Mark Twain, and you know, his generation believed that you know there was going to be a machine that would fix everything.
Yep.
And it didn't. I mean, this is when, you know, he had the, Mark Twain had the first telephone in Hartford, Connecticut or Bridgeport Bridgeport, I think, where he had his home and had it sent down, had a line between there and his home and his publisher's office. And he was almost ruined following
type machine.
Yeah, well, yeah, by yeah, self-setting movable type.
Yep, yep. He had the first really practical type setting machine, you know, and what he didn't realize was that he couldn't compete with really poorly printer's devil.
Well, the other thing was, according to this book, the guy would make it work every now and then, and then it would crap out again on him. And he finally got a contract for the Chicago Sun-Times or the Trib to test it out, you know, in real time, real world. And it busted and busted and busted and busted. And by the time it all was said and done, it bankrupted him.
Yeah.
And he wound up in 2006 dollars, I'd guess, he probably had $35 million in it.
Wow.
And, you know, it was just sure, you know, and every time the inventor would say, well, you know, if we just put a little more money into it. And
you know, I've seen gadgets like that.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is, that's, I mean, look, the computers. But when you talk to a Republican, especially a Republican who hates government, they'll say, you know, Democrat just wants another tax and spend social program. They think money cures everything. Well, in many ways, it does.
Yep.
But the thing is, it's a matter of applying it in the right fashion. It seems like everybody who tells me that money can't buy you happiness is either somebody who has a lot of money or someone who has none.
Yes.
And the fact that...
nowhere to shop.
Right.
You take care now, my friend.
Have a good night, Ben.
You too.
Bye now. Because the fact of the matter is, money well spent will solve a lot of ills. Money poorly spent or evilly spent, on the other hand, you know, it's the intent behind the money and not the money itself. You know, it's like the old Bible verse. You know, it's the love of money is the root of all evil, not money, the love of it. And to the same extent, you know, look at the millions and, I mean, I imagine by the time you count up all 50 states, billions of dollars into those technological marvels that are going to make all our elections fun and free and fair and didn't. You know, and they the pigs complain about us with social programs? I would far rather that some poor person got an extra check then Diebold got an extra contract, but I'm crazy that way, I guess. Listen, let's take our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, your phone calls, if you want to jump in, 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hard to sit still when that's going on. I'm Bob Kincaid. Welcome back to Head On for this Monday night. Mondays really are my favorite nights. It's so good to be back in my happy little chair in my happy little place, looking at my lovely wife. It was always kind of sad signing off away from her and stuff. You know, you can dig that. A little more than 26 minutes before we wrap everything up for this Monday evening. Let's go to the phones. Jim is back with us and has waited and had a thought for us. Hey, Jim, welcome back. Oh, Jim. No, Jim? Okay. Sorry. Well, you'll have that. A couple of other just random thoughts banging around out there. Another one of those look at the Republicans who hate science stories out of the LA Times. What was it last week? Was it Thursday or Friday? We had the story about how all of NASA's Earth observation missions through 2008, Earth observation satellites, things that had to do with detecting climate change and weather patterns and all of that stuff, had been canceled. Remember that story? Well, this is sort of like that. Dateline Selma, Oregon. A student's forest paper sparks one hot debate. It's about an individual named Daniel Donato, forestry student. And, you know, when you're into forestry, you know, things that are kind of scientific, you like to find out how trees grow. Daniel Donato, in particular, wanted to study how trees grow back after a fire. Okay? You know where this is going. So, you know, the romantic life of a forestry student. He's out there in a burned-over country, and one little two, little three, little saplings, four little five, little six, little saplings. Counting saplings. You know, not rocket scientist. You know, you start at one, two, three. Somebody says, hey, Daniel, how old are you? 23. Aw, damn, one, two, three. He's counting saplings. Nothing more. He's counting trees. That's it. Counting trees. And what he found out in trying to discover how forests grow back after a forest fire, he found out something kind of ugly. Well, I mean, ugly, not ugly, pretty. It's science. He just found something out. It's a fact. It hangs out there and you deal with it. Oh, no. No, no. Not in Repigli world, you don't. If you don't like a fact, you get to hate a fact. And you get to attack a fact. And you can attack facts with Jesus and patriotism and money. Because in this case, poor old Daniel Donato got just drilled by a bunch of Republican congressmen. Because what he found out, what it boils down to, he found out that after a forest has suffered a fire and burned over, that coming in and doing what is called salvage logging. And timber companies come in and they log out the dead trees after the fires on federal lands. And, of course, you know, being as we've paid close attention to the crimes of this godforsaken bunch in Washington, these Republicans, this Bush administration, we remember the Healthy Forest Initiative. Don't we? Of course we do. Oh, we don't miss much. The Healthy Forest Initiative, and that, you know, that's the one where George Bush came out and said, well, if all the trees burn down, we'll have a healthy forest. And once you get past the initial comedy of that part, then you start thinking, well, you know, forest burns down. And I don't know about you, but in my mind, and I've seen it where I grew up in the red clay of North Alabama, and the pine forest will burn down, and I mean there is not a stick left, and the rains come and the gullies wash out, and it just looks awful. But pines being pines, a few years later it's covered up in pine trees again. But it's, you know, barren and nasty, and a few years ago we had forest fires so bright they lit up the night on the mountain. Just a couple of hills over from the undisclosed location. But apparently, you know, the Bush administration had another thing in mind. And what they had in mind was that, you know, after the forest burns down, there's something there left to log out. And these timber companies go in and they do salvage logging. And they figure, well, you know, it's already burned down, it's a mess, you know, we'll go in and make a bigger mess out of it, nobody will ever notice. On federal lands, which means lands that belong to, you know, you and me. And they make a fortune because it's a reduce, you know, it's not as labor intensive. Go in, drag the trees out, you know, and, you know, maybe verge over a little bit into the unburnt part. Do a little clear cutting, you know, just because you can get away with it. So what Daniel Donato found out, you know, after a season of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, counting saplings, seedlings, he found out that salvage logging hinders the return of a healthy forest. Listen to what happened. After some of his research showed up in the online version of the journal Science this past January, the federal agency yanked funding for his project. Timber interests sent emails to the dean of Mr. Donato's college at, Oregon State? Yeah, Oregon State. Fighting beavers? Something like that. Yeah. Oregon's, the beavers. They tried to get him, you know, get rid of the, he's dangerous. He's out there counting trees and saying it's not healthy for us to take all the, give me a harumph, all the salvage timber harumph. That's un-American. That's unpatriotic. Dear Leader done told us that we had us a healthy forest when we was, when all the forest burnt down and we took the trees out. That's a healthy forest, didn't it? Wasn't he paying attention? They take away his student aid. Damn, who knew that gooey cracker Southerners were calling Oregon State? But you get the idea. Congressman just grilled him. Far worse than any questioning that any Republican has ever offered to any member of the Bush administration. They tore into Daniel Donato like they wanted him dead. All because he published something that said letting timber interests go in and just rape burnt land without the, you know, with abandon might not be such a good idea. That's all he said. Not even that it wasn't a good idea, that, you know, it just hindered the return of the forest. No, it doesn't. That's junk science. Sons of bitches. You know, it's late enough, Agnes, I can say that. No, that's not, dear, that's what they are, okay? That is what they are. They're just rotten human beings. Yeah, well, you know, what's a drowned polar bear here and there? That's just God's will. That's not the North Pole melting. That's God's will. And counting trees. Whoever heard of counting trees to find out if a burned out forest was coming back? I think that's Satanism. They tried to. He's a student, and they tried to get him removed from his education. Dig? His principal finding that post-fire logging hindered forest regrowth, there was nothing new about it, really. But it was published at the same time that Congress was considering making it, imagine this, look, a clarification, easier for timber companies to do salvage logging of dead trees after fires on federal land. Bush administration was behind the bill, of course. Oh, look, it's something dirty and nasty and rotten and, you know, oh, look, it's a Bush administration bill. And the bill's been passed by the House, and it's based on that Healthy Forest initiative that says that burned over forests recover more quickly if you go in and log them and replant them. And Mr. Donato found out exactly the opposite. And all manner of timber interest Republicans tried to destroy that young man. And, you know, this isn't the only one of these stories. There's a jillion of them. Mr. Donato said, it's a one-page research note. It's not that earth-shattering, and it really would be very easy to put the paper in context and sort of almost trivialize it. Instead, it's been turned into this giant political thing. It just blows me away. I never anticipated that. Oh, poor Mr. Donato, did you not realize that there are still money-grubbing, coin-eating, filth-loving, blood-sucking Republicans in this country, sir? Did you not realize that, you... You can, read it for yourself, but, Oregon State Senate Republican leader Ted Farrioli sent this snotty email to the dean. He said, nice work. These are rifle shots politically directed at resource producers and timber-dependent communities. And then there's Columbia Helicopters, Inc. Vice President Max Merlick. And he complained to the Oregon State Forestry Dean, again, Hal Salwasser. He said, quote,
the likelihood of this paper being used successfully against us in court on salvage logging litigation is very high. How OSU handles this from this point on could play an important part on our issues.
S-O-B, S-O-B, S-O-B. Sweet old baby.
You see, our money is more important than your trees. You Oregandrionians. Tree huggers. Jiminy.
But that's, you know, it goes on. The Scopes monkey trial. Weirdo conservatives tried to destroy a school teacher for, natural selection and all of that stuff. God loathe them. So, a Republican and a Democrat attacked him at a congressional field hearing. And they even tried to censor it in the journal Science. Is this where we cue up the Beatles singing All I Want Is Money? Oh, no, let's go to the phones. Gerard is with us. Gerard, welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
Good. I wasn't going to call in tonight, but you got a couple things going in my head here, connecting a couple dots. I kind of wanted to go back to kind of what you said at the beginning of the show about the rise in crime under Bush. It's kind of interesting. A couple months ago, I went to a Meet the Candidates forum done by the League of Women Voters, and they had every candidate up to the one for the U.S. Congress got up and had a couple minutes to speak to the audience that was there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting that one of the candidates for the county position, a county commissioner position, who was an incumbent, happened to be a Republican. But the one thing he said, which was reiterated by other candidates in the room, both Democrat and Republican, was that. And I live in, Joe?
Yeah, you're there. Gerard?
Yeah?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm losing you.
No, I don't know why.
Okay. So But anyway, so St. Joseph County is right on the Michigan border. We've got South Bend and Mishawaka and the Notre Dame campuses here. But all these commissioners agreed that the number one expense in the county budget was law enforcement and crime prevention. And we also, and it's like it, they're kind of frustrated because there are a lot of things that need to be done. Roads need to be fixed, but we can't afford it in the county. And this is an accounting where we, in some places, some districts, they've had up to a 300% rise in property taxes. But we still can't keep up with the crime prevention costs. We've got one of the biggest juvenile detention centers in the area. Like in many other parts of the country, methamphetamine is a huge problem. We had an incident just a little while ago where in a suburban area, the kids were prevented from getting home on their buses from school. They had like a 3-hour delay because the cops busted a meth lab, and they didn't want the kids near because it's so volatile when they're handling one of these things. And I guess my point in all this is that, and kind of connected to that story you were just talking about, this is the time of year where, you know, kids are graduating from high school, they're graduating from college, and it's usually marked by, you know, kids at that stage in their life, they're saying to themselves, well, where do I fit in?
Yeah.
What am I going to do? What, you know, and if anything would turn you to drugs, it's a feeling of hopelessness.
If anything would turn you to that, it's a good, hard, sober look at the world they're being handed. I mean, we're watching some of this firsthand, Gerard. You know, our daughter just graduated high school, and we're seeing her go through that process. And she's smart enough, and she's looking at this world that she lives in, and it's real, apparently, and I can't blame, it's real easy to get real bummed out about stuff.
Yeah. You know, and the kids, they're so intelligent. And they, you know, they're, you know, if a 50-year-old fart like myself can figure out that what we're doing in Iraq is just basically a government-sanctioned mercenary, you know, and I don't want to say anything to denigrate the troops, but when it comes down to it, the way the Bush family has control of this government, it's basically their private army. They're using the U.S. government army as a private army for private gain, and there's just no getting around that. No,
they most assuredly are. I used to take some grief when I would suggest that it was the Bush family's ultimate desire to see the name Bush used the way Caesar was 2,000 years ago.
Oh, yeah. You know, I always encourage people to go to www.tarpley/bush.net, which is a guy by the name of Webster Tarpley who wrote the unauthorized biography of George Sr., and he basically compares him to Caligula. He's the modern Caligula. Anytime anything disastrous happens, in the last few decades, George Bush seems to be somewhere around or somehow connected to it.
Yeah.
And, when the kids, you know, I think the greatest thing anybody can give a kid is this hope in the world that, you know, there's a future that he can look forward to and a chance for him to be fulfilled and happy in that future. And the way things are going, you know, the kids realize that just isn't happening.
And the worst thing a person can do is take that hope away or destroy that hope.
Yeah, and the story that you just had, I mean, there, you know, here's a guy who is probably his closest is something that's deep in his soul to go out there and study trees, and to have it now that kind of desire not only squashed but actively retaliated against is just a crime to me. It's just nothing but a crime. I hate to end the show on a sour note, but that's
No, you're not.
That's the way I see it.
Well, I'm glad to know that I'm not just absolutely stark raving mad, because again, there's 100 stories like that all over the country of people being retaliated against for having the unmitigated temerity to just follow facts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is faith-based forestry that the Bush administration's doing. You know, it's good to sell off fire salvage timber because we believe it is, not because science supports it, but we believe it is, so that'll do. And I just loathe that.
Yeah.
But Gerard, thank you very kindly for calling in and helping make this.
Well, we appreciate the extra hour tonight, and we'll certainly be calling you back.
All right, thanks, Gerard. You take care now.
Yeah.
All right, bye bye. All right. Thanks, everybody. Whether you just or you called or sat and thought your thoughts or sent email. Thanks for sharing your time with us. The show tonight, of course, was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes, who I actually can reach out and sort of, hey, there you are.
Don't help me.
Yeah. It was announced by Brian Reznor. The chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network is John Fox in Sydney, Australia. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computers in Tallahassee, Florida is our IT professional. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org has a fundraiser going on so that the White Rose can continue to bloom. Remember that. He archives the show, he streams all the shows of the Head On Radio Network, and archives many other fine liberal talk programs. Hardest working man in liberal talk, bar none. And of course, the show happens, and every show on the Head On Radio Network happens, because there are thousands of members of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights who get up and go to work every day and build the American dream. And in supporting this network, they're helping to save the American dream, too. Remember, tomorrow, 3 to 5, Guy James, 5 to 8, Bruce Birch, then little old me. Hope you'll join us for that. And of course, always, 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 RMR. It's all for you.